Welcome to Wisdom Trek with Gramps. Wisdom is the final frontier in gaining true knowledge. Our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, and to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. This is Gramps. Thanks for coming along on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Today is day 1592 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is essential to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, we must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. This week we will continue reviewing our book from Dr. Michael S. Heiser titled Supernatural. The book is an abbreviated version of his more comprehensive book, The Unseen Realm. I highly recommend both of these books. Creating the biblical worldview on how the Old and New Testament connect to God's overall plan for humanity is essential. This book review will help us to understand what the Bible teaches about the unseen world and why it matters. Today is our final chapter and we'll have a conclusion next week, and the chapter title for today is Ruling Over Angels. It is crucial to our faith that we understand who we are as Christians. We are sons and daughters of God, a refashioned divine council that already participates in the Father's kingdom. But there's more to it than that. Yes, we are God's family council, but to what end? Well, we are already in the kingdom, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We have not yet seen the full unveiling of that kingdom. We have not yet seen the world become Eden. This is the already but not yet paradox that runs through the Bible in many ways. In this chapter, I want to give you a glimpse of the not yet that answers the question, to what end? Because we are in kingdom participation even now. Our participation in God's kingdom isn't predetermined in this sense. We are not mere robots performing functions programmed for us. That violates the whole idea of being God's imager, His representative. We were created to be like Him. He is free. And if we do not have genuine freedom, we cannot be like Him. By definition, we would not be like Him. We are free to obey and worship, or rebel and indulge ourselves. We will reap what we sow. Our sowing is not pre-programmed. But God is greater than we are. He had a plan, and it will come to pass. His success neither depends on, nor is forced to adapt to human freedom. We cannot undermine it, nor can the divine beings who are also free to choose. Think about the Heavenly Council meeting we reviewed in Chapter 1 covering Believing the Bible. I asked you whether you believed the things the Bible says, and then took you to the meeting of God in His Heavenly Council in 1 Kings chapter 22. God had decreed, and so it must happen, that it was time for wicked Ahab to die. But God then let the spirit beings of His council decide on how to accomplish it. And that is found in 1 Kings chapter 22 verses 19 through 23. Predestination and freedom work hand in hand in God's kingdom rule. His purposes will never be overturned or halted. He is able to take sin and rebellion and still accomplish, through other free representatives, what He desires. As C.S. Lewis once said of God in his book Prayerlandra, "Whatever you do, He will make good of it, but not the good He had prepared for you if you had obeyed Him." To what end, here and now, are we part of God's family council? We are to participate with God in liberating people from darkness, to show people how to live justly and with mercy, imitating God for those who need that illustration. We are to defend and spread the truth about the true God in a hostile world under the dominion of envious divine intelligences. We are to enjoy life as God intended it. All of these callings and training for the kingdom to come. As Paul asked Corinthians, who had lost their divine perspective while bickering about the affairs of the world in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, "Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life." He was serious. Paul was getting to something specific in that statement. Because we'll be set over the nations. The final form of the kingdom is yet to come. When it does, the powers of darkness will be defeated. The demonic gods will permanently lose the dominion over the nations, replaced by God's glorified human family and council. Look at what Jesus said in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verses 25 through 28. "Hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. When Jesus returns to take his throne on the new earth, a new global Eden, he will share it with his siblings, which are us. The principalities and the powers will be thrown off their thrones, and we will take their place. Their dominions won't be given to the faithful angels to God. We will outrank the angels in God's final Edenic kingdom. Jesus will put his human brothers and sisters in charge. Are you puzzling over the final statement in Revelation chapter 2, verse 28? I will also give them the morning star? It does sound odd, but it speaks of a joint rule with Jesus over the nations after the evil powers are dealt with. Morning star is used to describe divine beings, Job chapter 38, verse 7. It's also a messianic term. Since the Messiah is divine, star language is sometimes used to describe the coming reign. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, it says, "A star will go out of Jacob, a scepter will rise from Israel." In the book of Revelation, Jesus describes himself this way, "I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star." Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. The wording of Revelation chapter 2, verses 25 through 28 is powerful. Not only does Jesus say he's the messianic morning star, but he gives us the morning star. He shares his messianic rule with us, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, and it takes us one step further. So believers, don't miss this point, which I'll read. "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne." To what end have we been made partakers of the divine nature? Why does Jesus introduce us to his council as his brothers and sisters? It is so that God can give us dominion over the earth as originally desired. Heaven will return to earth in a new global Eden. And this will be an eternal Eden. From the first chapters of Genesis, Eden was a focal point of God's plan for man, the rest of his divine imagers, and his kingdom. So there is neither surprise nor coincidence that the last chapter of the book of Revelation takes us back to Eden in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. "Then the angel showed me a river with water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop for each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever." Did you notice that the tree of life heals the nations? The nations, once dominated by the principality and powers, will be ruled by the new sons and daughters of God. That is, you and me. This wasn't the first time that the tree of life showed up in Revelation. Speaking to those who believed until the end, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 7 and 11, "I will grant them to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. They will not be hurt by the second death." The reference to the tree of life is clearly Edenic. The first death refers to physical death, brought on by Adam's sin and the expulsion from Eden. Since all believers and unbelievers alike are resurrected before the judgment, the second death is the final judgment, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Those who continue to live with God in the new Eden do not suffer the second death. As we wrap up, why does this all matter? Many Christians have an inadequate view of the afterlife. Scripture doesn't tell us everything about what it will be like, but some aspects are certain. We aren't going to be playing harps or singing endlessly while floating around on clouds. We won't just be sitting there on celestial couches chatting with departed loved ones or well-known believers from the past. Instead, we will be living the life Eden offered. We will be busy enjoying and carrying out what God has made, side by side with the divine beings who remain loyal to Him. Heaven and earth will no longer be separate places. Knowing our destiny ought to mold our thinking in the here and now. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." knowing this spectacular, glorious outcome helps us to keep our present circumstances in perspective. After Paul wrote the words we just read, then he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, "Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our mercies and the Father of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired for life itself. Indeed, we felt like we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." God can preserve us in life, but even in death we will still be raised to sit with Jesus on his throne. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. We either live with our destination in view or we don't. Our awareness of our destiny ought to alter our behavior. If you knew you'd someday be sharing an apartment or working in the same office as that person you criticize, belittle, or otherwise disdain, you would invest a little more effort in being a peacemaker, an encourager, and perhaps even friend to that person. How is it that we treat fellow believers so poorly then? How is it that we don't put as much energy into moving the unbeliever toward Jesus as we do into engaging with him or her as an enemy? We either have eternity in view or we don't. How much rule does Jesus need to share with you to keep you happy? The question might seem odd, since any such gift from Jesus would be wonderful. Why then do we vie with believers for status? Why do we bicker with each other for advantage, attention, and personal gain? Are we no better than the Corinthians, whom Paul had to remind of their destiny? We're either content to rule or reign with him, or we're not. As Christians, it's time to live as though we know who we are and know what plans God has in store for us. And that will finish our study for this week's Worldview Wednesday. Join us again next week as we will conclude our book review of Supernatural in our quest to build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow we will ponder a bit of wisdom from Gramps, so encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,591 treks or read the Wisdom Journal, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow for more Daily Wisdom.